just in case we say something brilliant tonight. So tonight will be office hours, and then I'm going to give some very specific steps and almost deliverables, slight deliverables for next week's call, which will be our last or our second to last like official team call as we wrap out. So I'm going to have everybody come prepared with some things. So I'll do more on the prep side of that probably over the weekend or before the weekend to give you guys some lead time. But essentially what I'm wanting to do is like get a sense of where everyone's at, and then also the direction that you're heading in, and that will help me and all of us to kind of put our heads together and think about key performance indicators that we can suggest or brainstorm for each other, and also how we can continue to support each other as a cohort moving forward as we reduce the calls to every other week instead of every week. So that'll be next week. And then, so today we can just do office hours, and I'm happy to hold space for like equally divided time, or we can kind of put someone in the hot seat for however much time. So Jazz, how are you doing? Do you have anything you want to offer up for office hours tonight or brainstorm? Or
mine isn't specific to like a biz dev item. It's still kind of the same stuff I was talking about last week with managing how I'm like navigating and processing how I'm feeling about everything that's come on to like my plate right now. So I'd be happy to talk about it, but if somebody has something that's specific to like helping them with their actual business team items, I would go last or not go if there's not time.
Awesome. Thank you. Cool. How about you, Ashley?
I don't have anything specific. I think what I'm working on is, well, there are a lot of things I'm working on, but figuring out how I'm unique in terms of my coaching or what I bring to coaching and my business. And so I need to spend some time on that myself, but I think that's one of the big things I'm like trying to work toward like this week and or over the coming weeks or whatever, but yeah.
Awesome. Well, would it be helpful today if we set aside some time to brainstorm that with you and maybe come up with some ways that you can explore that?
I'll put myself out there.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So it sounds like everybody has something they can hot seat about. So let's just go for it. Ren threw her hat in the ring first. So Ren, go ahead. Let's do like 10 or 15 minutes, just in case somebody else joins. I want to make sure we hold some buffer space here, but yeah, use us, Ren. How can we help you?
Okay, so I am like wholly unprepared. I don't have like hard numbers, but at the very least, I figured I could get like a general idea and I can like hone it later. So I'm thinking about swapping out like the shipping charges on my online shop and just doing like free shipping. Because, and I really just came to my attention today, at least one person that I know, you know, she placed like it was like an $80 order and shipping ended up being like $12 total, which isn't like the end of the world or anything, but as the business person, I kind of feel like I could be serving them better if I somehow included shipping, because so far she's only gotten half of her order, which is kind of actually to be expected. And she did ask me about it, which I'm glad she did. And I want to be a little bit more transparent too, I think, in how some of these orders are going to be fulfilled, because a lot of them are print on demand and they're coming from different print vendors. So on the one hand, I get why the shipping is so much, but on the other hand, from a customer standpoint, that's not fair. And I shouldn't say it's not fair, but I could see where a customer might think it's not fair or think that it's too much. So I kind of want to work on building my pricing, building shipping into the pricing a little bit better, and either having a free shipping threshold or just offering free shipping from the get-go. And I'm not sure what route I want to take with that. And to compound that, I still have about 9 or 10 existing orders that have not been fulfilled yet because they're still with the printers. And I don't want my existing customers, especially who are still waiting for their products, I don't want them to feel that I'm leaving them out, that I'm leaving them out to dry, or anything like that. So I'd like some ideas on how I can support them. Either, I don't know if I considered the idea of like refunding part of their shipping costs. I considered the idea of offering coupon codes, which I kind of want to do at least for some people anyway, because they've ordered so much from me. And I'm going, holy crap, you guys got to stop spending money.
Don't say that to your customers.
Oh, no, I'm not actually telling them to stop spending money, but they're like my sister and another close friend. And I'm going, I love you guys. You should spend money on other things. But it's like, I'm not going to tell them to stop, but it's like, I kind of want to give them a little bit of a thank you, you know. It also, it's like, you've spent a lot of money already. How can I say thank you? You know, what would be appropriate?
Got it.
So that's kind of like a whole lot of crap I just spilled out. You
know? No, this is great. I'm hearing two primary themes, and these are really great to be considering because it sounds like you're wanting to have your customers experience at the forefront of your brand, which is the same value, right? Which is great.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, I feel very lucky because it's still mostly people that I'm either kind of close to or fairly close to. Mm-hmm. And it is starting to like trickle out into other people that I barely know, but I do feel fortunate that obviously the people that I care about even remotely are like, holy shit, we have to, it's like, this is awesome. We have to support this, which is fantastic. So I want, if I'm thinking if I start, because I can start with them, I can build a stronger brand and with the experimenting and everything. And now I'm just rambling, so I'm going to shut up.
I love where you're headed with this. And I think I'm really picking up what you're laying down, which is you have a initial client base that you're able to test things on.
Right.
And learn based on that feedback and based on their responses, results, and testimonials, et cetera.
Yeah.
Help you learn so that when you do continue to expand into serving people that you aren't necessarily one degree of separation from, that you'll have a stronger architecture, a stronger framework for serving them.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Yeah. So so these two themes that I'm hearing is one around like building shipping into pricing. Mm-hmm. And then the second theme is around that you have these 9 to 10 existing orders that haven't yet been filled because it's print on demand, and how to like take care of them and let them know that they're not just getting lost in the abyss of the printing world.
Right. So I know that for the most part, everybody does understand that shipping to production and shipping times are considerably slower than normal right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to keep in contact with everybody in one way or another, mostly through my Facebook group. So nobody's lost. And if anybody has questions, they do know they can message me or call me or anything. So I think my bigger concern is there something I can or should do for them in regards to shipping charges as I roll out the new changes with shipping on the site? Because I'd like to have the changes made. I could probably do it this week, but officially I want to have it completed by mid-June, just to give myself a little time to get distracted, because I do that. Mm-hmm. But not too much time. So I'd like to have the changes implemented and completed by mid-June. So should I do something to incorporate that in some way for the existing customers who are already waiting. I don't know. My gut tells me, yes, I should. I'm just not entirely sure what that should be or what it should look like.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm open to ideas.
Awesome. Yeah, great. I love that you're considering this. This is that extra, the extra mile that will, or extreme value, that will set you apart and that will have your customers saying, she took such good care of me. Like, I can't wait to recommend her to my niece, nephew, friend, colleague, etc. So I, as you know, and we'll open this up to the group, of course, but like, I'm of the opinion, especially at first when we're like starting to put ourselves out there, our product or our service, of like over fucking deliver and like really create that hell yes for the customer.
Yeah.
Because word of mouth and network marketing or like network effects essentially are so huge. Like your reviews, your testimonials, like you can, and you can pare down once you start to scale up, you can pare down on what those like, you know, perks or bonuses or, you know, the extreme value is. But initially I think it's a great idea to be thinking about this right now. So
yeah.
So the options, as far as you're identifying them, are like, including the shipping or maybe partial shipping costs or maybe a discount code or a coupon code for next order. Cool. Right. Group, what do you think? How might Ren also be able to serve her clients in this way?
I think, hi, I'm sorry.
Hi, Jessica.
Hey,
Jessica.
I also love that you're thinking about this, and like just thinking about my own experience of like different things getting delayed, and it's totally understandable. So like, I'm not really expecting anything, but like, a really nice discount for a future purchase. It seems like mutually beneficial. Or like a discount code that they could share with their friends.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes, I definitely agree with that because it keeps it in house and it keeps people coming to you.
Right.
While also picking up the people.
That's really good, Jess, because that to be like, oh, hey, I got this from this person, and by the way, here's a coupon code. That's fabulous.
Who else?
Ash, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Jazz,
the first thing that came to mind was like, what's Amazon's markup? Because that's what Amazon does. Like, if you look at the same product on the manufacturer website, it's usually some percentage lower.
Right.
Because everybody knows Amazon says free shipping.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's not free shipping. You're paying for it in all the product. It's also part of the Prime membership. But even if you don't have the Prime membership, there's a lot of items with free shipping.
That's true.
Their items are still marked up.
Right.
So I don't know what the percentage is. I've never really looked into that. But as a consumer, it's probably a psychological thing. I would rather see free shipping and have my product be a little bit more expensive. Oh, that's really sweet. Thank you. I got ice cold water.
Aw, me too.
It's awesome.
But I would rather see it marked up.
Right.
And that's just me. And I'd rather see free shipping.
It's definitely not just you. It does seem to be a pretty common theme, and I'm not opposed to it. I think initially I didn't want to include it right off the bat, but realistically it is definitely a better way to go.
Yeah. Yes. I think so, it's like when I look at a product and I'm like, do I believe this product is worth $80?
Right. Yes.
Then the question is, do I believe this product is worth $86?
Right. Yeah.
That's like pretty close. And then the $6 is the shipping, but you know, like.
Right.
The answer is usually yes, for me at least.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a good point too, because I have abandoned carts because of shipping before. If shipping is too high, forget it, I'm done.
Yep.
So yeah, that's definitely a cost that I want to keep under control, at least as far as the customers are concerned.
Mm-hmm. I would wholeheartedly agree with that. That free shipping is a huge sell.
Nobody wants to pay for shipping.
This is so true. We want not it consciously. Today, but we don't want to.
not consciously, right? Yeah.
Right.
I agree with what Jasmine is saying. If you can put it in the price, that would be ideal. The other thing that I was going to say that gets me sometimes to buy something is the threshold. Like, buy so much and then you get free shipping.
Right.
And what I end up doing is buying like two of something, because it's usually like, I don't know, like skincare or something or whatever that I know I'm going to use anyways. But
right. Yeah, that so definitely, like,
if I can get free shipping, if I spend $75, then
right,
fine. That's a no-brainer.
Like, yeah. Yeah, that actually makes me think. I'll take another look at, I haven't taken a close look at my average order values, but I'll do that this week. At the very least, I know I can work in a threshold. I just got to figure out what's the average order value and what can I do, not to manipulate it, but to support that, I think. That'll help a lot, I think.
That just made me think of when you go into a store and the Ritz crackers are like 2 for $3.
Oh, yes.
How many do you buy? You always buy two.
Yeah. Right?
You always buy two.
Exactly.
Like, my kids are just really into Ritz and peanut butter right now. That's why that came to mind. But do you have like one of your products, like your pads of paper that you could say, even maybe as part of your giveaway, you know, buy two pads of paper, get one set of stickers free.
Right.
Or whatever combination.
Yeah. Or like, actually, I just got this in today. I ordered a sample.
Is that fabric?
It is.
I want to see you big screen. How do I do this?
Hold on. Oh, yeah, big screen this one.
Oh my God. Twitchy kitty.
Yes. I have like three of these designed and on the website. I finally ordered one for myself like a couple weeks ago. And I've had several people order these. These were the first thing. They're tubular bandanas or net gaiters. Mm-hmm. And I guess they're used in motorcycling and like outdoor adventure stuff a lot to help keep dust off and keep you warm in the winter and stuff. I finally got mine in today, and I've actually had a few people order like two at a time. So I'm thinking that these would be good for like a buy one, get 1%, like, I don't know, buy one, get one half off or something like that. I'm not sure what yet, but so yeah, that would be a good option.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the printing is fabulous on this too.
It's so cute.
Oh my God. Yeah, it is fantastic.
And it's not screen, is it screen printed or is it dyed?
It is I think it's dye sublimation.
Yeah.
So yeah. So it's, I mean, it's in the it's
yep.
printed on the fabric, but it's in the fabric.
Yeah.
Cool. I am very pleased with the quality on this. This is good.
Yes, I love, I'm over here absorbing the language that you're using, Ren, and I'm secretly throwing a party that I'm inviting all of you to right now, which is that we're having this conversation about Ren's products. Like, this is so cool. We're like talking about her having orders of $80 and how can she take care of her customers, and people are ordering these net gaiters and they're ordering more than one. Like, this is super exciting.
My biggest frustration right now is I found a vendor for like actual face masks, but the only people that are making them in a style that I actually like are all in China, which is fine, but except that it takes at least 45 days for everything mm-hmm. to get over here because everything is so backed up and just with the whole situation. So it's like even longer. It's just ridiculous.
I have a question related to that, but I don't want to derivate too much from the topic of what, where we were at. Let's, if it's okay, Ren, with you, let's continue the, like, the brainstormer feedback around how you can take care of your customers with the shipping thing. And then I have an idea for the face masks.
Ooh, excellent.
All right. Other ideas, ladies? So let's put our, I'm trying to do this in real time right now too, like thinking about when we have felt really taken care of in purchasing something artistic or something boutique.
Well, okay. It's not me, but it's actually one of my customers, a good friend of mine. He lives in Beloit, which about 45 minutes from where I'm at right now. And he ordered a t-shirt. He ordered the wrong shirt. Didn't realize that he ordered the wrong shirt until like a day or two later when we were talking. And he's like, isn't this that shirt? And I'm like, no, that's a different shirt. Is that the shirt you wanted? He's like, oh, well, crap. So I was just like, well, it's not his fault. I mean, technically it's his fault he ordered the wrong shirt, but I'm like, screw it. You're going to get two shirts. I'm going to order you the correct one. You'll get both of them. And he's like, oh, what do I owe you? I'm like, no, dude, it was communication error. Cause he was having some trouble on the website for whatever reason. So I ordered it for him, but he told me the wrong one. And it was my fault for not double checking which one he wanted. So I'm like, dude, I'm taking care of it. It's this one's on me. Mm-hmm. So he's like, dude, seriously, you don't need to go that far above and beyond. I'm like, dude, it's cool. You know, we're good.
He sounds like the right, yeah, a good move.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was thrilled when they came in. So
I think, or does anybody have additional feedback?
Well, I don't know what your normal like packaging process is like, Ren, but I was just thinking like sometimes getting a little something extra that you weren't expecting in with the package. Like I think you do sometimes like sheets of stickers.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, what the cost benefit is of like including a sheet of stickers or something with a package and just being like, you know, free gift, thank you for ordering. But then if they like the stickers, then they would be like,
right.
They're so
yeah,
cute.
That's true. You know, and it depends on what the product is as to whether, because all of the print-on-demand products are drop-shipped. So I never even see them unless the customer posts it like on the Facebook page or something. So I'm like, I'm asking everybody I know, if you order something from me, can you please post it when you get it? Because
right.
But if it's something that I can produce in-house, like the stickers or the stationery sets, those I do include a little something extra that they weren't expecting as a thank you. But I'm thinking that it might be a good move to send to just like, not randomly, but like maybe shortly after they place an order or something, maybe send a low-cost item in addition to the print-on-demand item that they're expecting.
I was thinking that there's a company, mm-hmm. I have these like hair things, mm-hmm. and they come separately. It's not a print-on-demand, obviously, but where it just,
right.
I think it comes from wherever it's made. But she sends with every order a follow-up. It's a printed thank you card. But oh. It doesn't look printed. It looks like it was like handcrafted. It's detail oriented. And then there's always a real signature.
That's nice.
And that seems very thoughtful. And it's a larger company. And I know that she could probably be doing other things than signing like thank you cards.
Right.
But that seems like an extra, very connective gesture that
yeah.
has kept me not looking anywhere else for my flexi clips.
Oh, that's awesome.
What's yeah. a flexi clip?
So I'll get one to show you.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. In fact, I'm like right now, my brain's like searching the archives. There was some startup class I took where they were talking about follow up thank yous and just like follow up communication and client retention and return customers. There's a really high correlation between that, whether it's like a digital follow up, but it's, they had talked about, they like split tested the customers whom they sent thank you cards to. And I think like a coupon code inside of the card or some kind of a pay it forward thing, like give it to a friend or whatever, versus not. And it was like significant return customers. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like this. It's like a little thing.
That is.
And you just like twist, you just twist your hair and you stick it in and you like flip it over and it holds your hair in place. So I
would call
the flexi clip. I love them. They come in extra small to extra large. So like extra small could just hold, like if I just wanted to pull back this side. I wear them to work every day because it dresses my hair up instead of like that.
Nice.
So, new French twist. You can I can just put a bun like this and then it goes over my bun and it looks cute.
Oh, I'm so jealous. That's awesome.
What?
I said, and this is how network effects happen. Like, what friends telling friends telling friends. Yeah.
There's like very few, like, what are they called? Pyramid schemes that, like I've ever participated in. This is one of them.
Oh, like a multi-level thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There's like, that and Arbonne.
Nice.
So how are you feeling, man? Does this give you some ideas?
It does. Thank you very much, ladies.
Awesome. Which ones are there any that are like standing out as being more interesting or not more interesting, but like appealing or fitting or do you, are you going to kind of brainstorm this?
And all see what, of them.
All of them, yeah. Cool.
The hard part is going to be picking, picking which ones to test. I think that's going to be the hard part.
Yeah. Cool. I think the shipping, including the shipping costs and then having free shipping is a really great idea.
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. All right. And then I had an idea about the face masks. Let me find it in my brain.
Okay.
Do you already have, you have the design, the pattern for it?
Give me just a second. I've got one that I did not design. It's just a plain one that I ordered from someone else, but it's the same design. So give me just a second. Let me grab that.
Rena, Joel's mom, made the kids their own face masks because now Cora's like of age. She has to wear one. So she has this little like princess face mask and she wants to go out in public so she can wear it. It's like, can we go somewhere today so I can put this on?
Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine.
Aww. She's four. It's crazy.
Oh. Okay. So this is the face mask pattern, basically. It's got on the ear loops, it's got like this adjustable thing.
That's nice.
Yeah. That alone is really nice. On the nose piece, there's an actual like little metal bit so you can form it to your face better. And it's got a filter pouch, and it comes with two free filters, too. So it's got a filter pouch, and you can see it comes up underneath your chin, too. So you can form it to your face.
That's nice.
Really well. And, well, still can't breathe. But I really, really like this design. It is probably the best design I've seen out of everything. And as far as I'm aware, only producers in China are making them. I haven't found them elsewhere yet. I've seen at least two print-on-demand companies now that are doing these, and they're both in China. If I could find a US source, I'd be thrilled.
And what was it? What was the cost for that?
The cost to me for the print-on-demand one,
just like retail, because you just purchased that one by itself, right?
Yeah, this one, it was $20 retail for, and this was through an Etsy shop. So, and I know that they got this from China. I just don't know who their supplier is.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay, so I'm going to give you some food for thought to chew on, and then I'm going to keep the baton passed here for other hot seat topics. But this has been so fun, Ren. I'm so excited for you. Here's what I'm thinking. So I'm wondering if there's a way for you to partner with other seamstresses, makers, essentially where you order the fabric, you partner right. with them in a way where there's like some kind of a split cost thing going there. Mm-hmm. But sometimes partnering with people who are already doing it, maybe not print on demand, obviously, if it's coming from China, but if you can, I mean, right now there are like so many moms, I mean, more than moms, but there are so many moms home selling face masks right now, which is such a beautiful and amazing thing. And like, and as their side hustle, or sometimes as their like primary source of income. So I'm wondering if there might be a way for you to like, you know, scour Etsy, or if you know any seamstresses, et cetera, and like get your fabric or have the fabric sent to them and partner in some way. You may not make a huge margin, a profit margin on it, but nonetheless, it's a way for you to get your work out there and like have a really hot commodity product available right now. So.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought that up, actually, because Zach and I were actually talking about him making face masks, and he borrowed this one as a to figure out what the pattern is, you know, as a sample. But realistically, he's going back to work next week, so that's not a realistic thing for us to do. And I do know at least two or three people just in my general area who are making masks. They're not making this style, but there's at least one person who's making a style that I would be okay with using. If they wanted to use their pattern with my fabric, I would be ecstatic.
Yeah, that's something to consider. And or all it would take is reverse engineering the one that you have in hand right now, which probably isn't, you know, too challenging. So cool. I'll leave you with that. And also, I know that Amy earlier, a month or two ago when all of this started, she was making masks and she was realizing that her sewing acumen was not efficient. It wasn't cost effective time-wise for her to be making these, but she might be somebody to ask or like loop in with in terms of what she thinks would be helpful in getting you to like a profit margin with that. I don't know. Some kind of a conversation around that.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you, ladies.
Yeah. Thanks, Ren. Congrats on all of your freaking momentum. This is so exciting.
It is. I'm not quite at profit yet, but I'm getting slightly closer each day. Or I should say slightly closer.
Love that. Yay. Cool. Let's see here. Let's go to... Jess, did you have anything you'd like to hot seat or workshop on? You're like, last week freaked me out. I'm good.
No, I really just, I appreciated last week so much and just felt like, just wanted to see if there was anything that I could support today. So just here to brainstorm ideas. the one thing that you haven't put up the recording for last?
I haven't. Sorry. I was off grid over the weekend. I will put it up tonight. Thank you.
That's really fine. Like, I don't remember a lot of it, but I have a note about Dan Sullivan's strategic coach. And I don't remember like what that suggestion was for.
Yes. Yeah. So that's his, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just saying I can wait for the recording, but if you remember what that was in reference to, I can dive into that a little better.
Yeah, it was his, so he has like a gajillion amazing ideas. One of them being his kind of newest brainchild, which is what he's calling Who Not How, which is this framework around partnering with people who are way better than we are at an area or domain of expertise that would very much accelerate, complement our business or our endeavor. So essentially like partnering with people in an official or unofficial capacity to help grow and exponentially accelerate our progress. So helping us to get out of our own way by bringing people on. He calls it insourcing as opposed to like outsourcing or delegating. It's really cool. Okay. And there's a podcast by that title that I'm now in my third round of listening to it. There's like 12 episodes, I think, and it's super informative and insightful.
Awesome.
It's with,
thank you.
Yeah, it's with Benjamin Hardy, I think. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And I will post the recording tonight. Thanks for the reminder on that. Let's see, Jazz, let's, for a few minutes, kind of follow up on what was going on for you. And then Ash will maybe close out with helping mirror your uniqueness. Cool.
All right. I think I've just been trying to navigate everything that feels like it got set on my plate, all at once in the form of opportunities right now, or what I'm seeing and perceiving as opportunities right now. Joel and I have been just, I feel like, having intense discussion after intense discussion for the last 2 weeks. I've been looking to accelerate, right? Like, I've been looking to surround myself with better people doing bigger and better things and wanting more for myself. And especially after meeting all of you, just really striving to be like the biggest, most powerful version of myself. And I feel like right now I'm inundated and I'm trying not to like freeze with fear of all the options, but rather to choose deliberately. I think I'm probably struggling the most with, like, I've mentioned this to Fawn, like the feasibility. On one of our team calls, I mentioned the opportunity to carry for my cousin as a surrogate. And that's like very much moving in the direction that I believe I'm going to do it. So it's a huge decision. And it's so powerful and I can't quite describe it. But it's something that I can't shake. But at the same time, Joel had said, you know, tonight he pointed out, he's like, you know, the pregnancy might be more of a pause than an acceleration for you, in terms of how you feel when you're pregnant and like how much you can do. And like, if you have an intensive coaching program that you're in and there's multiple like calls throughout the week and you want to go to bed by 7:30, you know, how are you going to handle that? Do you think that, you know, that's feasible? And that those have been my main concerns. Along with the fact that I just, got told I'm teaching the intro to computer programming and intro to web design elective courses next year, which I'm excited about. I've been trying to get into the computer science department for a couple years. So that makes going to work, I think, a little bit more exciting, which is exciting, but it has to come now. Like, it has to come when...
Go Sorry, ahead. Was there, is there, because before it was 2021, the fall of 2021. Now is it this year?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry. I know. I know. Yeah, it was. It was, which is like why I was like, okay, I'll have this upcoming school year to like mentor under the current computer science teacher, which is what we wanted to do this past year, but then we left early. And I wasn't going to be teaching it this upcoming year. And then all of a sudden, I think he complained. He didn't want 5 preps. And so they were like, all right, we'll just give it to Jazz. We want to build a second computer science teacher. We'll just start now. And like, you know, not for nothing, there's budget cuts still. And it is, I am technically the lowest person on our math totem pole. He got his special ed certification, which was smart of him. And now he's like in the special ed department, so he's safe. If they were to lay off a math teacher, which I don't think they are, me and this other guy, Dennis, are the same year. We're very good friends. And I have a lot of value in the school, and they don't want to lose me. But if they had to choose between us, he has a master's in mathematics, which allows him to teach our AP and concurrent courses for credit. And I can't do that. And that's like really important for our school as a whole. So if they had to choose, there is a possibility that it would be me. And this would make me a little bit more, it would give me a lot more maneuverability around the school if I could also teach these programs, because we can introduce electives into the middle school, etc. So anyways, this is all just about the feasibility. Like if I'm trying to, and I'm be really honest with myself, I'm feeling like a little kid. I'm like, this is not fair. Like, thank you, universe. Go fuck yourself. Because like, it's like, Jazz, you want to give more? Here, carry baby. Jazz, you want to learn more? Like, here, go enter like this ridiculously awesome but intensive coaching program, as well as like learn an entire new course at Kittatinny. And then like, oh yeah, I'm walking and my neighbor was like, oh, a while ago you mentioned tutoring at Project Self-Sufficiency, which is the place on my list right here in front of me that I wanted to volunteer at. Oh, I looked into it and they said that they would take you on board. Like, just let me know whenever you want to start. And it's like, I hate all of you. You know, and I want to be like this, Superwoman. Yes, 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 yes. But there's a lot of fear there. There's a feel of failure for sure. You know, mainly fawn with the coaching certification, you know, I grew up in a, like, you give money to get something. And so it's like, I gave money to go to school and I got a degree to get a job. I gave my time to work somewhere. I got a paycheck. I can like sign up and pay for this program. And then like, I'm the only person that can get out of it what I put into it and make money doing it. Although the process in and of itself is just like a kid in a candy shop for me. Cause I told Joel, like, since I started here, every call has been like, how was it? It was great. Like, how was it? I loved it. Like, every interaction has been really wonderful. And so I think the process is just going to be enjoyable in and of itself. But then there's also the reality of like, you know, and for Joel too, he's like, if you're doing this, this is like, we would have to be sacrificing some of the things that we put in place as non-negotiables right now. And, you know, what's it going to look like after? And I believe in you. And if you really want to do this, then let's go. But what does it really look like? And like, how does it manifest itself with like still working at Kittatinny until it is something bigger and more? And then that's where my like fear of like, well, what if I can't comes in, or I don't put in enough time, or don't really believe in myself. Like, would you be willing to blast it to all of your closest friends, family members, and colleagues? Because if I can, then, you know, that means I have the courage to do it. So I don't know where I'm stuck. I think there's a lot of points that I'm stuck at right now, but that was kind of my brain dump for my struggles. And everything feels like it's right now. You know, there's not like leniency in the timeline. It just is all simultaneous. Like the process would start now for the baby. Like I would pull out my IUD and like that we would get going. And the LFP fundamental starts in mid-June, and then the advanced starts in mid-August, and then the school year starts in September. I don't know how structured and disciplined am I, which this, like, I almost just started crying. Oh my God.
What's coming up?
My character strengths that came up the lowest were discipline
And it was like self-discipline and perseverance were like the very two last character strengths. And sometimes I feel like I talk the talk, but like can't actually walk the walk. And, you know, when I let myself, which is actually like not very often, but maybe it should be more when I really let myself dig in. I don't like necessarily maybe hold myself as accountable as I could be, you know, with my timelines and with my level of productivity and with how much I know I can do. And I don't want to have to need somebody like holding me accountable all the time in some app or, you know, like a coach to be checking in on me. And that sounds silly because if I was coaching myself right now, I would have so many things to say to myself right now with these words coming out of my mouth. But, you know, okay, so I talked to Joel. We budgeted for like 2 days a week at the babysitters if they're open to that. And that could open up some time to be able to manage this. But if that's not an option, it's not just like, I don't know if I can do it as far as ability. It's like there's a reality of having two small children 24 hours a day. And, you know, there's a sacrifice to having children and one of them is your time. It's black and white and it's just there. And obviously I wouldn't give it up for anything else, but there's a reality to it. And my desires and all of my like wants, can't come first. So I'm trying to find that balance right now, which is very hard. Because maybe when they're like really little, they're literally like sucking from your nip. You can't do anything, right? But now they're like 2 and 4 and I'm getting my gears going again. I'm like, all right, bye, honey. I love you. Give me kisses. I'm going to go play soccer. Like tonight I was like, good night, Cora. I'm going to go have a call with Miss Fawn. And so it feels like I can start doing, oh yeah, you're Miss Fawn. Everyone's miss everything. So, you know, it's almost like a tease. It's almost like a tease. And I just want to be really like mindful of my gremlins that are holding me back, but also like what's that compared to the reality of not setting myself up for failure, just in a manageability standpoint. And it's really hard to know that for truth until you get into the thick of it. And by then you said yes, and it's just like, suck it up, buttercup. I don't know. I don't know how to discern between the mental fear and, versus what is actually manageable. So then if I have to pick, what do I pick? You know, because if I have to pick, then I need to know if I have to pick. If I can only pick 2 out of 3, you know, or 1 out of 3. I don't know. Yeah. Feels like a lot.
Thank you, Jazz. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Thanks.
I want to acknowledge that it is a lot. It's a lot to be navigating, considering, weighing out, simulating. It's a lot.
Yeah. It's silly, but it makes me want to cry because I just like want to have my cake and eat it too. Like I just want to be able to do all of it. Like, why can't I, like, cause I've said it to you guys before. I feel like I have so much to give and like, why am I like, I don't want to choose right now. I want to give it all. Like, I want to be able to give it all to everybody, my kids, my husband, the greater community of women that I could potentially influence, the struggling mothers and students who are trying to get their high school diploma, you know, my cousin and his wife who can't have a baby. Like, I just like want to believe that I'm strong enough. But then
I don't know. If I'm not, I'm letting down like more than just myself is what it feels like. Because every choice that I'm going to make or about to make is, it's a sacrifice on everybody. So I want to be really like intentional, because it's not just me. So it's really important to value all the pieces of the puzzle that I'm trying to put together. So, doing a lot of journaling. I don't know if it's helping though, honestly. God, I don't know if it's helping. It's like, yeah. And I'm trying to put a deadline on it. Like I tried this week, by the end of this week, I want to have a decision. But when I feel like I want to have a decision on one, it means I have to have a decision on all.
Right.
All tied together, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was longer than I expected. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for being honest and opening up and sharing that and communicating what abundance looks like when the universe decides to just rain down abundance on us. You're like, dude. It's a real thing. Yeah. Ladies, I just want to do a quick time check-in. Office hours are typically an hour, but I can totally hang until 45 after or even to the hour if we wanted to or needed to. I want to make sure that we hold space for Ashley, but I also realize that we are in a moment with Jasmine right now. Who's able to stay until 45 after? Jazz, are you able to stay until 45 after? Okay, awesome. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, everybody. So Jasmine, what would be, for a couple moments here, because I do want to make sure we get to Ashley, how can we help or support you? Mm. And if you don't know, that's okay too.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I've been really trying to be pretty thorough and like cover all the bases and see all the angles and in like doing a lot of visualization around a lot of it. But when every scenario is like feels good, the fuck do you do with that? I mean, like, you know, I'm trying to even visualize them all together, you know, with like a big, like heavy swollen belly, and I can't eat carbs because I have gestational diabetes again, you know, and I'm cranky, but I'm about to hop on a call to dive deeper into another facet of LFP that I've been looking forward to all week. And, you know, I don't know. It's like, it's really hard to visualize the bad scenarios for me. That's probably because I want to do all of them. So, I mean, there's days where I'm just like, I'm going, I'm sending it right now. I'm like, all or nothing, you know, I'm going to do it. But then, yeah, no, anyways, I'm just talking about the same stuff. I don't know. I honestly don't know how you could support me. I don't know. I want everyone that I tell to be like, yeah, Jazz, you can do all of it. But nobody wants to do that because they don't know how that's going to affect me or how that would, no one wants to make a decision for somebody else. You know, everyone's like, oh, I believe you can do whatever you want to do. It's like, that doesn't help me, but thank you. You know, it's hard. So I don't know what's going to help myself. So I don't know how to have anyone else help me right now, I guess. Just going to keep talking about it. Keep working through it with Joel. It's like first world problems right now, right? Like, is how it feels. I'm like just so lucky and so grateful to have all these awesome things. but like, is this the definition of FOMO? Like, that's what it feels like.
Quality problems. I mean, problems, quality problems. Yeah.
So,
well, I hear that you are weighing a very complex decision, multiple layers of decisions right now. And I want to validate that there are numerous factors on every single edge of every single opportunity, and that you're a human being and you're also wanting to make sure that you're here for yourself and you're taking care of yourself and your family and your kids and your time and your health. And I want to validate that the difficulty of this decision and the complexity of this decision is, and how you're feeling about it. Like, I'm so grateful that you are being so thoughtful and methodical and weighing things out and super intentional. And it's incredible that you are navigating this in the way that you are, as difficult as it is, because it really, really shows how much you care about the quality of your life and the life of lives of those around you. So I just, there's nothing like wrong with you. And I think it's really important that you are exploring all of these angles and that you're realizing where you might, like, you're interfacing with some stories or some gremlins about your story about yourself, or which are probably important to be interfacing with at this point in your life, regardless of what decision you go with. So, there's a chapter, please loop back in with me and remind me, there's a chapter from Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. I have the PDF of this chapter. I think I photographed it and converted it to PDF at some point in history, because I found the chapter so useful and I wanted to keep it on my phone. But the chapter is how to make a no-lose decision. And it's just been like a really reassuring ally for me when I've had some Jessica, let's have story time. I love it. Yes.
Totally on hand right now these days.
I love that. Also, if you want to, I'm going to shift over to Ashley, but if you want to call together like a council meeting with the team sisters or the LFP sisters, or like reach out to whomever you would like to join at a certain point in time in the near future for an hour on a Zoom call or a half hour to just like hold space for you as you process through this or as you like make your decision, we're here. I'm here. And I know I have a sense that a lot of the other sisters would be here should you request their attendance. So
that would be awesome. Yeah, because whether I choose all or have to not choose some, then I'll probably need support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you want to maybe post a couple of times in the team group, and let's see if we can jump on that and get you some support in the super near future, because I hear that some of this is like impending or timely.
Yeah. Timely. Yeah.
Impending. That sounds good. Yeah. The impending opportunity.
There's a dream. It's not stopping.
Awesome. All right. Anyone else have a quick bit of feedback for Jasmine before we go to Ashley? Jess. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Jasmine, that everything feels very absolute in what you're saying. And like, I think aside from the surrogate pregnancy, like, I wonder what you could think through in terms of, so what if you did sign up for everything? What if you did do everything and then you felt that it was too much? Like, is it impossible to like drop something or push the timeline out or, you know, change gears? Like, it doesn't have to be a do or die scenario. So that was the only thing that I wanted to just put in your brain if you haven't thought in that direction yet.
Thanks.
Oh my God, yes. I have to second what Jessica said, because I can't tell you how many times I have tried to start my studio and something came up and I had to put it on pause. And sometimes it's been on pause for like a couple of years, sometimes like half a year or whatever, because either a different opportunity came up, or scheduling couldn't work out, or just shit hit the fan. And I think Jessica's right. I'm not counseling you to sign up for everything, because I think you're insane. However, if you really want to, what's the worst that could happen? That you have to drop something? Okay, you make that decision at that time. Just a possibility. Yeah. I mean, obviously the surrogacy is like, once you start that, you have to, but
eventually we'll actually drop it. But.
Right. Yeah, right. that one's a little definitive. It's like, well, once you start that, you're going through with it. but everything else, I mean, if it does get to be too much, because I've done that to myself so many times. I've just started like too many things at once, or just shit hit the fan or something, and something had to give. And I've had to put things on hold. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay. You're not going to disappoint anybody. And if you do,
right.
Oh, well, shit happens. You're going to be okay. Whatever you decide, you're going to be okay. And we're here for you.
Thanks, Ren and Jessica. Yeah, that's essentially the how to make a no-lose decision from Susan Jeffers' book. So you just got the
the team. Yeah, I did read that. It's been a while, and I gave the book to my mom-in-law, so I don't have it anymore.
This is actually a test to see how well you guys are paying attention. Good job, you passed. No, that was really, really beautiful feedback. Okay, I'm just going to put something in the chat here for you, Jasmine. It's the 10 cognitive distortions. And the reason I'm putting this in here is because sometimes cognitive distortions can impact our decision-making and simulating. So it may be of help to have this on hand to just check with, like, is this cognitive distortion coming into play as I weigh out this factor or that factor or what have you? Okay, so let's go to Miss Ashley. Yes, so unique ability.
Yeah.
Ashley and I are both kind of in this phase right now and around like, well, for me, kind of like further clarifying my unique ability and my inner empress. But for Ashley, issues, I'm just setting you up a little bit, Ash, and then everyone else can give their feedback. And for Ashley, as she's like switching, you know, professions and stepping into her amazing coaching business and role. And in this industry, in any industry, really, in any kind of business or biz dev, unique value proposition, right? Like, how are we different? Like, what makes us special? So go ahead. You take it from there, Ash.
Yeah. So that's basically what I'm struggling with. I don't know, like, how am I different from other coaches that are out there? Like, what does make somebody feel confident or want to talk to me about whatever they're going through? I mean, if I sit and think about it, yeah, sure. Some of it is I understand that, or at least I think I am a very relatable person. So people do tend to open up to me. But outside of that, like, I feel like you can say that about I feel like that you can say that about a lot of people, and, or maybe not, I don't know, but just trying to figure out like what is so, how am I unique basically, or different from anybody else that's out there, or what are some of the things that I could, I guess, play into a little bit more in terms of my unique ability, and how can I get some of that information, because yes, I can totally sit down and list out some things myself, but I don't even really truly understand maybe even all of them. So that is where I am at. So I appreciate
and I get
it.
to
I get to work with Ashley on this stuff all the time, so I'm just going to sit back and let the three of you have at it.
Here's a question. Have you asked any of your friends or family or anybody close to you?
I have not. And that, well, actually, I did way back when we were reading Pat Flynn's book and team. So actually, that's a good reminder. I need to go back and I've looked at the emails, but I haven't looked at them in a very long time, because there's an exercise in there where he asks, like, email like 10 people what your superpower is, kind of thing. So I need to go back and look at those emails. It has been on my list to ask some of my like close girlfriends what it is, because at the suggestion of Fawn, actually, probably a couple weeks ago, but I just haven't done it yet, and I need to just do it. I need to just do it. The reason we have a weekly call on Wednesdays with some of my girlfriends, and I don't know, but
perfect opportunity.
Yeah, I was thinking so too, but then there's so many of us that get on. Well, they're not like, there's like five of us sometimes that are on, and it's sometimes like hard to get a word in. So
yeah, there's that. There's that.
and sometimes I just forget, because we also drink wine on it too. But So I need to just do that. I would do it on tomorrow's call, but I'm going to have to miss it, because I'm actually going to be able to get my hair cut. A close friend does it, and she's only close people are allowed to come over to her house.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that is, I need to do that. Yes.
Long story. I actually posted that question on my Facebook, not on my studio page, but on my personal feed. I just threw it out there, like, hey, like, what is one thing that you think I'm really good at, you know, or however you might want to word it. Every single person said something to the same freaking thing, something to the effect of like how kind you are or some crap like that. And I'm like, well, how am I going to use that? I don't know if this is helpful or not, but at the very least, it might get an interesting insight into what other people are thinking about you.
That's not a bad idea. That's a good idea. I'll do something like that if I want the source all of that feedback. But that's a start. So thank you.
Yeah.
Ashley, have you been exposed at all to Stephen Covey's, I think it's like 7 Habits of Highly Effective People?
Yes, I actually have the book. I don't think I've actually, yes, I do have it. I've not actually read it. It's so pretty. Well,
I don't know about the book itself. When I, the company that I was at previously, they tried to like implement this group coaching type program on that, which was interesting. But part of that came a survey, like a 360 degree survey that you can send out to people, that is much more helpful and in depth than just kind of like asking people what their favorite things about you are. So maybe something that's a little bit more structured, so you don't get like, oh, you're so nice, like Ren is sharing.
Right. That's an excellent idea, Jess.
Plenty of other platforms. I don't know like how accessible that one is, but maybe just look for something that's a little more structured.
Right. Definitely. Yeah, I know. I need to think about how I would word the question or questions, because like to get the right what I'm looking for, basically. But yeah. I'll look into that. So thank you.
Yeah. And I think there was if you do end up using like whatever that system was that they used for the survey, people could answer anonymously, which also helps give some more direct feedback.
Yep. That's cool. That's good to know too. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
I just had to reciprocate your book modeling, Jessica. Sorry.
We're all going to join Amy's book club.
Yeah.
Ash, I had two things that came up. One was, well, I think that you should probably spend the next like 10 minutes just talking to us about yourself, and we should like listen to what you have to say. And we can figure out what you think your unique ability is and like to hone in on that. But also sometimes what we think our unique abilities are isn't like what's necessarily perceived from your clients.
Right.
So I'm sure that some of the most valuable feedback Fawn has gotten is our testimonials and what the people you're serving are saying and like how you're really resonating and connecting with them and like where they're finding value and like maybe the little nuanced thing you said that you didn't think provided as much value to them as they, you know, got from it. That's sometimes like probably a really great indicator. So I don't know if people haven't given you reviews, maybe see if they have time for it, or go back and reread them, see if there's any consistencies or patterns in your reviews and feedback.
Yeah.
Because it's, I don't know, I think it's really helpful to hear from the perspective of the person you're trying to serve.
Right. No, that's a good idea too. I have testimonials and I have, in some of my practice coaching, I had people fill out like feedback forms and stuff too. So I need to go back and look at those because I have forgotten about those.
Yeah. And I think also what I was thinking of with the question is like, I almost don't like the question because there's not necessarily like one area that I find you unique in, and you do have a unique ability, but it's like all encompassing in many different facets, in my opinion. So I think it's probably a great question, right? But like my thing is like, I'm not putting you in one. you're like superwoman. So, I don't really know where I'm going with that, but I just like wanted to build you up a little bit because it may seem like there's a lot of other people doing it or already who have platforms and a lot of followers and make videos and blah, 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 blah. But, you will attract and clients will gravitate you for many different reasons and many, like attractions to the person that you are and the things that you're trying to do for them. So it may be that to me, your unique ability is your quiet confidence in the path that you've taken so far to pursue coaching, because that's an area that I really like admire you in. But to another woman, your unique ability is your like audacity to leave your job and do the same thing freelancing and making the same money or more. You know, they might not resonate with, I don't know, where you live or your hobbies or your path, like who knows, but you're a diamond. So the light is shining a thousand different ways.
Oh, thank you, Jazz. That, yeah, thank you. That's very nice. So thank you. Yeah. And then it's figuring out how to marry all those things together too. But thank you for all of that, because that just made me feel really good. So thank you.
Ashley, I was curious. I don't know if you enjoy writing, but I think that like, if you thought about like your journey and what you would write about if you were going to like write a blog post to try to like help other people relate to you, mm-hmm. that could be really helpful in helping also you see like what your process was and what aspects helped you overcome that as you're trying to describe it to other people. And I was thinking like I'm not really great at like following people on social media, so I don't see everything, but of the things that I've seen you put out, the things that like help me connect to you the most are like the things like the podcast that you did, where I actually hear your story And it helps me like feel into how I can relate to you as a person, which is really important as a coach.
Right.
So maybe just like just diving into your own story and like figuring out how you would share that in whatever format you're comfortable, and then reviewing that, and it might help you like notice your own strengths through that process.
Yeah, I'm writing. Yes, I think that's a good, and I do like writing. I was a journalism major. I do like writing, and I do think that's probably a good place to start too. It's something that's been on my list for forever. To go back and to listen to that podcast again, and because I have a transcript of it too, and just to kind of pull out one, my story, but I like the lens of what you've just put on it, kind of like go back through it and see what my strengths are. What did I do to overcome some of the things that I was going through, and what helped me keep going, and where did I keep going, and why, and all of that. So I do like going back and looking at it from that lens too. Cause yeah, you're right. I think it would be helpful. So
thank you.
Yeah.
What if the journalism major thing, just like a light bulb went off above my head. Like, if you were writing a feature piece on yourself, but like, let's pretend it's not you. So if you're going to write a feature piece on a client that you have, or like your ideal client, what kinds of questions would you have about them that would help you better understand or see their uniqueness or their brilliant idiosyncrasies, right. Their strengths. Mm-hmm. And then I'll ask you those questions and we'll record it.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah. No, that's it. Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah. I'll think of the questions and yes, then you can ask me them.
Awesome.
You know, we actually do all of this.
Brilliant. Yay. Anyone else have suggestions, thoughts for Ashley? Cool, cool. All right. We have a bunch of literature to dive into around unique ability. And then I'm going to host a LFP call around it, which I'm really excited about, because I think that we all, whether or not we're entrepreneurs, we all deserve and need to better understand our uniqueness, I think, and so that we can shine brighter. So, and to Jasmine's point, Dan Sullivan's philosophy is that we have three unique abilities, like top three. And it's kind of like the 80-20 Pareto principle, where like our top 20 abilities, characteristics, dimensions, or whatever, that there's like three primary, that if we focus on those, then we like radiate and we thrive. I don't know what the science is behind that, but it's kind of about leveraging our strengths, right? Or leveraging our uniqueness. Yeah, because I don't want to hone in on just one either. Hell no. Like, I love how you said that, Jazz. Like, Ashley's a diamond. Yes. It's such a great metaphor. Beautiful. All right. I think the only suggestion I have, Ash, that came up as you were sharing tonight is like, would it be possible for you to prime your friends so that the next call that you guys have, like, it is a focus point that's on the table. Like, hey guys, I'm trying to explore myself. Can we set aside 15 or 20 minutes?
I'm going to be like, sure, Ash, whatevs, but.
Yeah. Yeah, just like make it a point to, you know, make the ask. I think it maybe it's just that.
Yeah.
That
easy. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea too. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you guys. All super helpful stuff. So I appreciate your support and your help.
Yeah. Thanks, ladies. Awesome. All right. So I will have last week's call up this evening for Jessica's listening and remembering pleasure. A quick note here. So Jessica reached out to me last week and mentioned that she like doesn't remember parts of what she said, which is
totally normal. And anybody who's ever given like a public speak or like been speech or been on the spot and like in the hot seat, we're so in flow state that our prefrontal cortex actually doesn't record things on tape because we're called forth in the moment. It's almost like a survival instinct. And so it kind of shuts down the area of our brain that registers memory. So it's super, super normal that happened. And I told Jessica, I'm like, I'm going to reframe this as like a positive thing because you were in flow state, not like a terrified moment in the hot seat. Anyway, so yes, I'll have that up tonight. And then Ren, would you be willing to post in the group what you decide and come up with regard to your value add for your customers?
Absolutely.
Beautiful. And Jasmine, would you be willing to post a few options for a circle up?
Yeah.
Support circle up. Awesome. And Ash, would you be willing to post in your ladies group a request for feedback around unique ability?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sweet. Awesome. All right. Go team, go. And Jessica, I am really curious about anything that shifted for you or might be still in motion or just any points of clarity or reflection that came up between, you know, or any time, but between last week and today or ongoing. So feel free to share that in the group or just with me, you know, whatever feels comfortable.
Yeah, sure. Cool. Money story stuff. It's a bit of a breakthrough realizing like I just got to invest and like, this is what I'm going to invest probably. And like, I need to get comfortable with that. And that's the big leap. And once I do that, like I'll be able to bring in the help that I need. And so just trying to get comfortable with that and like saying those numbers out loud and like telling Todd and letting him react to it and that kind of stuff. So.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been so much better since that call. So thank you so much for it.
Wow. Yay. That's amazing. Holy cow. Yeah. Okay. Please post in team and tell us how that happened.
Specifically Todd's reaction. Yeah. I think I test pilot this stuff like this on Joel all the time. And if you want to talk, I just did it like 3 days ago with the coaching package.
Yeah. Yeah. Todd is, he sees all of the potential problems first before everything else. So he is kind of like, just if I really want to rip off the band-aid, I go to Todd.
Yeah, and does he call himself pragmatic? I'm just a pragmatist.
He's a realist.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I live by the signs of the universe, so I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, I think I'm a realist too, to be honest. Like, so it's just, but he's an extreme.
Is it a man thing? I think my husband's the same way, but yeah.
Oh God, I love that. We need to have like a council for how to talk to partners about stretchy stuff. Woo! Yep. Okay, ladies. Onward and upward. Love you all so much.
Good night, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Good night.
Thanks, ladies.